Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Grab a hold of something and get ready.
Because it's going to be a train wreck.
You are about to hear the best podcast on the internet that I am bringing to you for the low, low price of free.
Talk is cheap.
It's my little gift to you, and you can either choose to take it or walk away now.
Goodbye.
You see, I am merely a provider of quality entertainment. And if that's not your thing, well, so be it. However, should you choose to accept, you are in for some great music, informative talk, and random bits of genius. The choice is yours.
Nope, not interested.
Welcome to the Rockcast. Enjoy the show. Or not.
I'm not going to.
This podcast will self-destruct any minute now. On today's episode, I'll be reviewing some new CDs, and I'll be telling you what's good and what's bad.
This is bad.
But before I do some of that, how about I do some of this? This, of course, is a segment called Your Top Tens. And it's where I go against my better judgment and allow you, the listeners, to have a voice.
That's very bold of you.
And I know most of you are sitting out there right now going, but Monty, why would you do this? We only care what you have to say. And believe me, I know how you feel.
No, you don't.
Because let's be honest, every time I read one of these lists that you guys send in, I run the risk of bringing the entire episode to a complete stop. And believe me, the last thing that I want is for this show to suck.
Too late.
But despite the potential downsides, I will continue doing this segment for one reason and one reason only.
Why is that?
Because without it, I couldn't have a top 10 playoffs. And without a top 10 playoffs, I couldn't give an amazing prize package to the winner.
I really want that.
So as you can clearly see, I have no choice but to read another top 10 list, this time sent in by a Mr. David Whiteman.
Speaking of evil.
Now, I'm not sure if David has been in a coma or why he's just now getting around to sending me his top 10 list of favorite CDs from 2011, but regardless, here it is with number 10, Opeth Heritage. David says, this is King Crimson with better singing. Well, I don't know, David, but it put me right to sleep.
That big deal, boring.
Number 9 on his list is The Ghost You Gave Me from 3.
What?
And David says they are a mix of acoustic and metal, and they're similar to Coheed and Cambria, but a lot more interesting.
Are you kidding?
Well, whoa ho, I guess somebody better tell Coheed to get their act together, because Mr. David Whiteman is not impressed.
How dare they?
Number 8 is The Hunter from Mastodon. And yeah, I didn't like it as much as Crack the Sky, but it was a cool CD.
I guess.
Number 7 is Animals as Leaders with their CD Weightless. And apparently it's 7-string metal fusion instrumental kind of stuff. And that sounds cool, so I'll probably have to check that out.
Why would you want to do that?
Number 6 is Pieces from somebody named Nick DiVergilo or something like that.
Huh?
I have never heard of him, but apparently he used to be in Spock's beard.
Who the hell cares?
Number 5 is The Jelly Jam with their CD Shall We Descend? And David says, the mind-blowing trio is back with another great set. This is progressive pop at its finest.
That's fabulous.
Number 4 is another one I'll have to check out. It's Metalusion from former Megadeth guitarist Glenn Drover. Apparently, it's metal fusion, and if you like that kind of stuff, you might check out another former Megadeth guitar player, Chris Poland, and his solo stuff.
No thanks.
Number three is The Invalid from a band called Cladistine, Cladistine, or Cladston. Take your pick, because I don't know who they are. But David says it's like Dream Theater meets Evanescence, but easier to listen to than either of those bands.
I have no idea what that means.
Number two is Fly From Here from Yes.
Oh, yes.
David says most of their releases in the last two decades have been garbage, but this is a true return to form.
Nerdy.
The entire drama era lineup is participating, and the results are great, especially for a bunch of geezers.
Now, what does that mean?
And finally, on David's list of his favorite CDs from all the way back in the year 2011, it's Wasting Light from the Foo Fighters. Okay, well, wow, David. All right, I didn't expect that from you. You seem like more of a prog guy, but I thought that album was okay. I know a lot of people love that CD. I thought it was good, but it didn't blow my mind. But like usual, man, thanks for listening, and thanks for your list. Something I like to do here on the Rockcast is review CDs. I give you a little taste of what they sound like, and then I give you my opinions. Sometimes I like what I hear, most of the time I don't.
Nitpicky.
Here lately, there's been so many new CD releases that I've had to come up with a segment that I like to call Rapid Fire CD Reviews. Let's get started with the new one from Rush, Clockwork Angels. This is the 20th album from the Kings of Canadian Progressive Rock. If you're a Rush nerd, this must be like Christmas for you.
Yeah!
And I remember what it was like because they were my favorite band when I was in high school. And I bought their first five albums and I loved them. And then they put out the next 15 and I lost total interest.
What is wrong with you?
However, I approached this new one with an open mind. And the first time through, I thought it was a complete snooze fest. Second time through, I only hated half of the songs. And by the third and fourth listens, I found most of this album to be quite tolerable. All the journeys of this great adventure. Now that's cool, because that reminds me of the old stuff, except Geddy doesn't scream anymore, and I miss that. I'm actually not a big fan of his voice, but I gotta love him as a bass player, right?
Geddy Lee, best bass player ever, come on!
Yeah, no.
You sound insane!
Sure, I'm like everybody else, and I think he's amazingly talented, but I don't really care for the way he plays or for his bass tone.
You have lost your grip on reality.
However, on a positive note, While recording this CD, Geddy Lee was seen playing keyboards with his feet while at the same time playing bass with his hands and singing, and lots of people were really impressed.
Wow! Really?
Or was it playing bass with his feet and keyboards with his hands?
What's the point?
My point is, I don't really care how talented these guys are. I just want some good songs, and fortunately, there are a few on here. My favorite song on the CD is the last song. It's a ballad and it's got a great melody. And overall, I'd say this is one of the better CDs they've put out in years. If you're a Rush geek, I'm pretty sure you'll love this. And if you worship Rush, I'm positive you already have this and think I'm an idiot.
That's right.
However, I think the one thing that we can agree on is that the new CD from Manowar is absolutely hilarious. Never gonna change our style, gonna play tonight for quite a while. In heavy metal, we believe. If you don't like it, time to leave. Manowarriors, raise your hand. We can fight our battle. Manowarriors, raise your hand. Our fight is red. Just what we feel. Oh yeah, from their new album, The Lord of Steel. And yeah, don't get me wrong, I love metal, but this is where I draw the line. Manowar is so metal that they cross over into the ridiculous realm of Spinal Tap to the point where I'm saying, are they serious? And if they are they embarrassed about it? Now, if you like Manowar, that's cool. I understand.
No, you do not.
Well, okay, so I don't really understand. But I know one thing. I gotta stop listening to this before I end up liking it.
Quit, stupid.
All right, so how about we move on to the new EP from ZZ Top, Texicali. I've 25 letters on my dressin. I got to get paid. I got 25 lovers on my dressing. You know I got to get paid. So it's been 9 years since ZZ Top has put anything new out, and they finally do, and all they can give us is 4 songs. I guess they aren't exactly prolific when it comes to songwriting, which is surprising because when I hear this stuff, I can't tell whether they wrote it or it's just an old blues cover. But either way, I love Billy Gibbons and I can't help but love ZZ Top. Even if it sounds like a ripoff of one of their own songs.
Better than
This is produced by Rick Rubin, which means it's going to sound like there's a three-piece band from Texas just jamming away inside of a room, and that's the way it ought to be. I don't think the songs are that great, but hey, it's good to have the top back.
Oh, yeah!
If ZZ Top is not your cup of tea, then perhaps you'll want to check out the new one from Linkin Park.
No, thanks.
It's called Living Things. Once again, this is co-produced by Rick Rubin, and it does sound good, but it's pretty much the same old thing with Linkin Park. You get a little rapping, and you get a catchy chorus. So you can let it be known, I don't hold back, I hold my own. I can't be mapped, I can't be cloned. I can't see flat, it ain't my tone. I can't fall back, I came too far. Hold myself up and love my scars. Let the bells ring wherever they are, cause I was there saying. I'm trying to figure out who likes this stuff, and the best I can come up with is it's somebody who isn't gay but likes Depeche Mode.
I beg your pardon?
It's the same kind of person who wants everybody to think they're into hip-hop but would never buy a hip-hop album.
Yo!
This stuff is just safe enough to get played on the radio continuously, and I'm sure it will. And while I'm sitting here criticizing Linkin Park for being so formulated, they're going to be on tour making millions of dollars. So what do I know?
Absolutely nothing.
Now, speaking of somebody that used to get on the radio, do you remember a band called Lit?
Nah, I don't think so.
They had a number one single back around 1999 called My Own Worst Enemy. But since then, they've had a drummer die, they added a new guitar player, and recently they've come out with a new album. The name of the CD is called The View from the Bottom. It was produced by Butch Walker, and it's on Megaforce Records. I used to like Lit a lot back when I was doing my first couple of crunchy CDs, and it's good to see them back. There's several good songs on this album, including this song, and no, I know what you're gonna think, but it's not a cover of Hang On Loosely by 38 Special.
Love felt alive, fell apart, even lost my mind. About a thousand times. Can't say I didn't try. Learned to run, never learned to fly. Couldn't get that high. Broken hearts, lonely roads. Where it stops, no one knows. But I'm holding on. Cause I think I got it right this time. Baby, it was worth the ride. You're where I belong. How could this be wrong? I think I got it right this time.
Now I'm wondering, was it 38 Special or Bryan Adams?
I don't know which one it is.
But I'm going to forgive them because that chorus was so good.
It sure was.
Now, I know there's a couple of you guys out there and you're like me and you like the emo, screamo, metalcore stuff. And for you, I've got a new CD by a band called Hopes Die Last. They're from Italy and they kind of remind me of Under Oath or of Mice and Men.
Yeah, it's not the rest of the race.
I know a lot of you guys hate this kind of stuff because it all sounds the same, but I like their passion, and a few bands stand out from all the rest, and this is one of them. The name of the CD is Trust No One, and it's from Hopes Die Last.
They're crazy people.
Well, hey, did you know that Lita Ford has a new CD?
No.
Well, she does, and in my humble opinion, it's better than her last one, but it still completely sucks.
I don't want to fight with you no more. Why'd you put your fist through the wall?
You know how some things are so bad, they're almost enjoyable? Kind of like a bad movie you want to watch over and over again? Well, no, this is nothing like that. This is just bad.
You're mean.
This is one of the most cliche-filled albums I have heard in a long time. The music is tired and boring, and the lyrics are just laughable. I haven't seen Lita Ford lately, but I'm guessing she's probably still pretty hot looking, and that would maybe explain why no one went up to her in the recording process and said, "Hey, you stupid biatch, these songs are terrible."
Ouch.
I mean, I liked her in The Runaways, but it's 2012, and just because you're a chick who can play guitar, it's not that big a deal anymore. Nor is it the 80s where you could roll around on the floor in a video and have everybody think you're awesome.
You sure about that?
Unless you're Lady Gaga. And Lita Ford, you are no Lady Gaga.
And I will never forget what my mama said. She said, "Run, baby, run across New York City. Run, baby, run through the streets of LA.
So that's Lita Ford with her new CD, Living Like a Runaway, and I will give that 1 out of 5 bloody metal skulls.
Screw you!
And finally, if you're a fan of extremely heavy music, or you just like a lot of kick drum, perhaps you'll want to go on the internet and illegally download yourself a copy of the new Fear Factory CD, Industrialist. As I've said on this show before, Fear Factory is the heaviest band in the world.
Wow!
Mainly because most of the guys in this band look to weigh about 400 pounds apiece.
Huge!
However, they are extremely tight musically, and the singer's use of melody gives you an occasional break from the metal bludgeoning that your ears are receiving. To me, this is a typical Fear Factory album. There's two or three great songs, and then the rest are just okay. But if you're not as picky as I am, and you just want a good punch in the face, The Industrialist should do the job.
That was brutal.
On the last episode, I did a segment called That's Just Me, and the response was overwhelmingly positive.
Okay, that's a lie.
It would be easy to do the same segment again, but in the interest of keeping this show fresh and exciting, I've come up with a brand new segment I like to call I'm Just Saying. That's right, I'm Just Saying. A segment that's nothing like That's Just Me, Get to Know Me, Ask Monty, or any of the other numerous segments where I just talk about myself.
Strangely confident and arrogant.
So without further delay, here we go. Topic number one, the homeless.
Okay.
Now, I'm surely not going to criticize the homeless, am I? Because in this day and age, you're pretty much commanded to feel sorry for them. And I do in most circumstances, but not always.
Scumbag!
For instance, the other day it was about 100 degrees outside, and I see this guy standing on the street corner with a sign that says, hot and hungry. And that made me think several things.
Oh, like what?
Well, first of all, hot and hungry sounds like either a porno from the 70s or a song by somebody like Bang Tango in the 80s. Second of all, if you've got enough drive inside of you to stand outside in the boiling heat holding a sign all day, couldn't you just go find a job?
Listen to Crazy Man!
I'm just saying.
I hate you.
But yeah, I know. Jobs are hard to find. And sometimes I wonder why there aren't more jobs. I mean, have you been to Walmart lately?
Yeah.
They're these huge mega stores, and they've got about 100 checkout lines. I'm serious. There's literally 100 checkout lines. But I swear to God, even during the Christmas rush, there's only about 2 lines open that have people working at them. And it makes me think, why have so many lines in the first place if you're never going to use them? And couldn't you hire a bunch of people and train them to be cashiers so I didn't have to stand in line for 30 minutes waiting to buy my corn nuts?
Come on!
But since there are no jobs and the economy sucks, maybe I should just think about having a garage sale.
What?
I mean, I've spent years of my life trying to convince people they should buy my paintings and music and come to my shows. And after all the touring and websites and advertising, no one really cares, and I'm still broke. When all I really needed to do was get up on a Saturday morning, open the door to my garage, and then watch a stream of people walk up to buy the crap that I find useless.
It's not that difficult, is it?
It seems like for me, the harder I try, the less results I get. So here lately, I've been thinking maybe I should approach life the way my girlfriend Lindsay approaches washing dishes.
I don't want to hear about it.
Maybe all women are this way, but she seems to think if you throw a plate covered in food directly into the dishwasher, that it will somehow come out spotless. I've told her that this is not the case many, many times, and I've also explained that the dishwasher does not have a garbage disposal in it. But despite my pleas, Lindsay continues to throw plates covered with spaghetti, cheese, and lettuce into the magical dish cleaning machine, and then wonders why the tiny dishwashing elves who live in there are not doing their jobs.
They're kind of scary.
After failing to convince Lindsay as to what the problem was, I ended up just taking over the dishwashing duties myself. And sometimes as I'm standing there at the sink trying to chisel the oatmeal that has now turned into cement off the side of a cereal bowl, I have to wonder, did she have this plan the whole time? And maybe this was just a genius way to make me do the dishes.
Aha!
I bet it was. I'm just saying.
Somebody's got to call shenanigans on this.
But we all have to do things that we don't want to do sometimes. For instance, on occasion and against her will, Lindsay is sometimes forced to watch sports.
Ugh, Jesus!
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You see, sports to a woman is like a menstrual cycle. They'll put up with it because they have to, but it doesn't mean they like it. And the other day she went with me to a Kansas City Royals baseball game, but that didn't even turn out to be fun for me. Because not only was it entirely too hot to be outside in the first place, we had, without a doubt, the worst seats I have ever had for anything. Granted, no matter where I sit or stand at a game or concert, I will always end up next to the most obnoxious person in the stadium. But for this event, the entire crowd seemed to be against me.
Well, boo-hoo.
We were in the upper deck on the third base side, and I was at the end of the aisle. And every time somebody went to the concession stand to get a beer, they blocked my view of home plate.
This is a tragedy.
Well, at first, I thought maybe they would eventually just settle in and decide to actually watch the game. But no, this went on for the entire 9 innings. And at one point, there was about 5 or 6 people just standing there, talking to the usher, just hanging out. And it didn't matter if I yelled or threw peanuts at them, they were just completely oblivious. And once again, it made me think, what has happened to the people of this earth? Are we living in a generation where everyone has been raised to be self-absorbed nitwits who only think of themselves?
Well, yeah.
So the next time you drag your girlfriend or wife to a ball game, take a look around and ask yourself, I wonder if I'm blocking somebody's view. And if the answer is yes, maybe you should just get the hell out of their way. I'm just saying. I know women aren't the only ones who don't like sports. I know a lot of you guys out there don't like it either for some reason. And that's why I'm going to limit myself to 1 minute.
That's good news.
That's right. Here we go with Monty's Sports Minute.
It's too long.
So I'm talking hoops this time. And much to my chagrin, I must report that the Miami Heat defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder to win the NBA championship. And I was disappointed for 2 reasons. I love Kevin Durant, I love the way he plays, I love his attitude, and I wanted to see him win. But more importantly, I just hate LeBron James and the Miami Heat. Yeah, LeBron's a great player, and he's an amazing athlete. And if you stuck some pads on him, he'd probably be an all-pro in the NFL. I started out liking him earlier in his career, but grew to hate him because of his obnoxious ego. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, all you gotta do is check out his speech that he gave after they won the title.
It's the happiest day of my life. And I wouldn't want to spend it with nobody else in the world besides my teammates, these fans. Oh my God, you guys are unbelievable. And this is a dream come true.
The happiest day of your life? Oh, that's great, LeBron. And I'm sure your wife and kids appreciate the fact that you'd rather spend it with your teammates and fans.
What a great guy.
But whatever. I'm sure that next season, Oklahoma City will make their way back to the finals, where they will once again probably lose to the Miami Heat. Because that's just the way it is for me and sports. I'm constantly disappointed.
Are you done yet?
All right, let's wrap things up with some rock news. This is music news that you could have easily found yourself on the internet, but I did it for you so you didn't have to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So get this. You know that heavy band Lamb of God?
No.
Well, they were doing this show in the Czech Republic back in 2010, and this fan kept rushing the stage, and the third time he got up there, Lamb of God's singer, Randy Blythe, just shoved him, and the kid fell and hit his head and died 2 weeks later. Well, recently, Lamb of God was over there playing again, and before they left to come home back to the U.S., the cops arrested Randy Blythe. He had to pay $200,000 bail, and now he's up on manslaughter charges that could land him in prison for 10 years. Now, this may sound ridiculous, but it just goes to show how out of control government and the law is getting, not just in America, but everywhere. It's gotten to the point where if you are accused of something, you are considered guilty until found innocent. And when you think about it, that's just plain scary.
Good night, Irene. This is frightening.
Now, I don't know what happened in this situation, but after Dimebag Darrell dies on stage, I don't blame any musician for protecting himself. And I hope Randy Blythe will be set free, because Lindsay and I are supposed to see Lamb of God in December on a cruise ship.
Wow, that's weird.
For all you Bon Jovi fans, this summer Richie Sambora will release his first solo album in 14 years.
Oh, pinch me.
It's apparently going to be titled The Aftermath of the Lowdown, and Sambora describes the material as organic with a lot of jamming.
Yeah, I cannot wait.
In equally exciting news, remember the girl from Warrant's cherry pie video?
Yeah!
Well, her name is Bobby Brown, and she is writing her autobiography, and it's due out in 2013.
Wow.
She used to be married to Janie Lane from Warrant, so maybe she'll dish up some good gossip. But unless there's a lot of good pictures in there, how many people would want to buy that?
Zero!
In other news, Jeff Tate, the longtime singer of Queensryche, has left the band. Or, as I heard, he was kicked out. Either way, he has signed a solo deal with Inside Out Records, and an album is due this fall. As for Queensryche, they've replaced Jeff Tate with former Crimson Glory singer Todd LaTorre.
How can this happen?
Now, once again, I have no idea what went on there. For all I know, Jeff Tate may be a real tool. But if you're Queensryche, I mean, seriously, you're going to call yourself Queensryche without Jeff Tate? It's time to move on, guys. I haven't liked one of your CDs since Operation Mindcrime. I'm just saying. That's a different segment. Sorry. Never mind. Well, that's all right, because in shocking news, legendary bassist Rudy Sarzo has left Blue Oyster Cult. Yeah, and why is that shocking?
I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you why, because up until I read this, I was not aware that Rudy Sarzo was in Blue Oyster Cult. But apparently he has left the band, and I am prepared to step in and replace him and play everything from Godzilla to Don't Fear the Reaper.
It's not going to happen.
And finally, a couple of episodes back, I told you about Ginger from the Wild Hearts' new CD, and it has rocketed to number 9 on the UK charts. And the thing that's so amazing about this is that the whole project was funded by the fans and their donations. Ginger's statement about this was as follows. This chart entry marks a historic change in the way bands and artists can release music direct to their fans. For too many years, labels have been using musicians as fodder for developing their marketing techniques, usually at the expense of the players themselves. Musicians deserve to be paid like everyone else, and the only people who truly realize this, apart from the musicians themselves, are the fans. The future of music is in the hands of the people, and is finally the responsibility of the musicians. It's the most exciting time in decades. Many musicians have earned this freedom. The music industry is dead. Long live the music. Well, that is well said by Ginger. I'm very happy for him, and I'm also a little jealous. I think any artist or musician would love to have that kind of support, but I am thankful for the support that I do get.
Not much.
And if you'd like to support me and this show, you can do so by going to MontyCalvin.net and purchasing my CDs, t-shirts, paintings, or making a kind donation.
I didn't know that.
I'd also like to thank you guys for leaving the nice comments on my Facebook page and on the iTunes store, where you can subscribe for free.
Oh, goody!
I'm going to end this episode by playing you a song off that Ginger CD that I was just talking about. It's a long one, but it's an amazing song, and you'll probably never hear it on the radio, but you will hear on the Rockcast.
I can't believe it!
But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more cool stuff, but until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
Hey, Lindsay.
What?
Do you think anyone's still listening?
What?
Do you think anyone's still listening?
To this song?
Yeah.
I kind of doubt it.
Ah, but it's such a great song.
It's a little weird.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, well, all right. We'll go get ready to do the ending on this show because this song's almost over.
Okay, baby. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
This show sucks.
In your face.
It's over.